Welcome to Health Cetera. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. Around the country, including in New York State and New York City, there is a realization that we've got to move our resources upstream and promote health instead of having people develop preventable health problems and treat them in acute care facilities. And so there is this movement that's growing to look at how do we invest in creating healthy communities. And a number of foundations are focused on this effort, and one of those foundations is the New York State Health Foundation. And here to talk with us about what that foundation is doing around building healthy communities is Lourdes Rodriguez, Program Officer for the Foundation. Lourdes, thank you so much for joining us on Health Cetera today.
My pleasure.
So you are in charge of the, or the program officer for, the an initiative called Building Healthy Communities. Tell us about that initiative that the foundation has.
Yes. So I'm part of a team of three that are working to develop opportunities to work with organizations in six neighborhoods in New York State. We think of this as a place-based investment in which we are working directly with organizations that are, you could think about them as quarterback organizations, other folks talk about them as backbone organizations. But in a nutshell, we work with a lead organization that has a network of partners, and we work alongside with them in developing projects that are helping them increase their access to affordable, delicious, nutritious food, and improving the built environment to make it more conducive towards physical activity. And that can go into all sorts of details as the conversation moves on.
Well, in fact, tell us what those communities are, because some of them are in New York City.
So in New York City, we are funding in East Harlem, the District Public Health Office is our lead organization there. In the Two Bridges section of the Lower East Side, we're working with the Two Bridges Neighborhood Council. In Brownsville, we are supporting the Brownsville Partnership, which is a program of community solutions. In New York, in upstate New York, we are funding the Near West Side Initiative in Syracuse. In Niagara Falls, we're working with the Creating a Healthier Niagara Falls Collaborative. And in Clinton County, in the city of Plattsburgh, we're working with the Clinton County Health Department. And I would like to add that in the spirit of collaboration, right, because building healthy communities takes many partners, in New York City, we're partnering with two other foundations. We're partnering with the New York Community Trust, which is funding three communities in the South Bronx. In Mud Haven, they're funding the Bronx Works. In Hunts Point, they're working with Urban Health Plan. And in Mauritania, they're working with the Claremont Community Center, which is partnering with Bronx Lebanon Hospital. And the other foundation that we're partnering with is the Altman Foundation, which is supporting a portion of our learning collaborative that we have organized to help promote learning across all of our grantees.
Explain to people what a learning collaborative is.
Sure. A learning collaborative is a coordinated space, both virtual and physical space, in which organizations and their partners come together on a regular basis. We have to share both what they're working on and to explore new opportunities for collaboration or to expand their knowledge in a particular area of work. So we have a statewide learning collaborative where we meet about twice a year to compare notes about how the work is unfolding in each one of the neighborhoods, to listen to speakers that are doing work in either other outside the state or in other parts of the state. And in New York City, we, in between those meetings, we have learning collaborative meetings because we think that it's a really good opportunity to have our grantees identify common areas of interest that then we can all rally around. So, for example, working with organizations that they all have something in common. For example, many of them work with the Department of Health, so we want to make sure that we have coordinated efforts across all neighborhoods, or with the Department of Transportation. So and we both hold both physical face-to-face meetings, and we have virtual meetings in which we cover specific themes.
So what do you hope to achieve in these communities?
So we are thinking about this as a long-term investment, which is a new area of work for our foundation. We would like in 5 years and after $15 million of investments across the state, we would like to see improvements in health outcomes associated with the consumption, increased consumption of healthier food options and increased physical activity. So we would like to see changes both at the behavioral level and in terms of eating more fruits and vegetables, being more physically active. But we were also looking for organizations and their partners to, and for the foundation, of course, to learn how to work differently with each other so that we are thinking about community transformation for health as a long-term process as opposed to a serial project endeavor. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at changes both in terms of outcomes related to the health behaviors that we're mostly directly investing in, but we're also looking for organizations and ourselves as a funder to work differently to advance collective health goals.
So with the health behaviors, you're looking at things like what happens to the incidence of diabetes and obesity and heart disease. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. And the only reason why I shied away from being very specific about health-related diseases is that we recognize that this type of change is very much long-term. If we can document changes at the behavioral level, we can extrapolate and we can assume mm-hmm. that there's going to be changes in specific illnesses. But because this is right now a five-year investment, I think that we will probably see that further on in the horizon, but the first signs of change or improvement would be at both in terms of the access to better food options and healthier physical environments to be physically active, rather than those markers of impact in the long term.
And how are you then measuring whether these partnerships are productive and working?
We're working with the New York University Department of Population Health. They're carrying an evaluation on three levels. At the level of the neighborhood, they're looking at how the partnerships are working to advance shared goals. So they're looking at how their plans are being implemented and how they're seizing opportunities as they come up and how they're creating impact by having cross-sectoral collaborations across neighborhoods. They are looking at shared goals. Not everybody's carrying the work in the same way, but they're all looking to increase access to food, and they're all working to increase to improve the built environment and activate public spaces. So across the neighborhoods, we're also evaluating change. Mm-hmm. And we are looking at a more rigorous level. We're looking at comparing some of the intervention, a sample of the intervention neighborhoods with other neighborhoods in which we are not making investments, just to make have a sense of how this way of working in neighborhoods and this strategy for place-based investment, like what kind of impact it's having at the neighborhood level. Mm.
And is it your sense that there really is a lot of work to be done in terms of building effective partnerships?
Absolutely, but because we knew that that type of work is very much long-term, research-intensive, we purposefully sought neighborhoods in which some of that was already happening. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain. When we were identifying the neighborhoods in which we were going to be making our investments, we looked for a combination of need, of documented health needs, but also documented resource needs. But we looked for organizations in those neighborhoods that had a track record of building partnerships, mm-hmm. because we knew that starting something from scratch was going to be really hard for us to invest because of the size of our mm-hmm. of our investment, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, it's a hard thing to do, but it's less hard. Mm-hmm. It's much easier when you build on the track record of organizations or coalitions or collaboratives that have been working in this, again, long journey of community transformation for health.
So, Lourdes, and let me just remind listeners, this is Health Cetera. I'm Diana Mason, and I'm speaking with Lourdes Rodriguez, who is the program officer for the Building Healthy Communities Initiative at the New York State Health Foundation. And we're talking about this initiative that involves three New York City communities, East Harlem, the Lower East Side, and Brownsville, and also involves three other communities upstate, Syracuse, Niagara Falls, and Plattsburgh. And so, Lourdes, maybe give us an example of something that's happening in one of these communities that most excites you.
So I don't like to play favorites.
That's okay.
But I will share with you a very unique partnership, because I think that it's a really good example of how we need to think about this as a multi-sectorial initiative. Mm-hmm. In Syracuse, we have the lead organization is the Near West Side Initiative, which is housed at Syracuse University, but which is a partnership of organizations that either serve or are in the Near West Side. And it includes unusual partners. So the Near West Side, coordinated by the Near West Side Initiative, but there is a supermarket that is part of this initiative, and there's a community health center, and there's a housing organization, and there's a program of the Center for Core Innovation called the Peacemaking Project. And all of this is led by the Lerner Center at Syracuse University, because the way that the Near West Side Initiative organizes their work is that they, depending on the project that they are working on, they put their best foot forward, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And because this was a public health project, the Lerner Center is leading this work. There's other organizations that lead other efforts on behalf of the Near West Side Initiative. So a very simple example of how the collaboration is happening is that they have articulated in terms of their improving health outcomes related to access to healthy food, they have decided that they want to increase the purchases of healthy food options in the partner supermarket and decrease the purchases of unhealthy food options, right? So they have already there a very clear and tangible way of tracking their work.
So give an example. I'm not clear about how they're going to do that.
So the supermarket can provide the sales report of, like, you know, the consumption of, white bread versus whole wheat bread. Or they can look at the consumption of, you know, soda versus water and, you know, non-sugar added juices.
And then what are they doing to change that?
So that's where I was going.
Okay.
the partnership is in throwing everything at that goal, right? So the supermarket has an incentive program, and that incentive program tracks the value of food. Healthier food options have a higher value, and unhealthy foods have a lower value. So they can track and incentivize people for making better choices. But the health center, which shares a parking lot with the supermarket, conveniently, their nutrition program uses that incentive program to understand how patterns of consumption are going with their patient population, so that they can advise on making small choices at that individual level and making prescriptions for fruits and vegetables to their patients that's needed. And then another partner, which is the Cornell Cooperative Extension, they are training nutrition educators, and they are putting their skills to practice in the supermarket by having, delivering a curriculum that is helping folks learn how to make choices at the point of purchase. And so when you add all of those different efforts, each one is doing something that is very much aligned with their organizational agenda, right? Mm-hmm. So the health center mm-hmm. is doing nutrition advisement as part of the clinical visit. The Cornell Cooperative Extension is training their, cohort of health educators in nutrition, and the supermarket is serving as a resource, as the single point of purchase in that neighborhood specifically, mm-hmm. where people can have access to healthier food options. So that's one example in which, like, multiple partners are all rallying around a shared goal. Mm-hmm. And, in the same way, there's other types of activities that are helping to improve the use of the built environment and activating and reclaiming public spaces. So, for example, in Brownsville, the Brownsville team is working on community engagement and placemaking activities that are helping to improve the walkability and the experience of folks in their neighborhood, so that and this is not something that the Brownsville Partnership can do on their own as the organization that is leading the work. They're bringing all of their partners along and the residents to do this.
Mm. Nice. And what's going on in East Harlem and in the Lower East Side?
So in East Harlem, we have two projects that are led by the District Public Health Office, and then we have a myriad of other projects that are led by their partners. And the way that they have organized their work is very much aligned with the recently issued neighborhood plan that was created by a public process that was supported and sponsored by Melissa Mark Viverito. That public process identified a series of different categories, identified projects that would help to improve the health of people in East Harlem, that would help improve their not only health in terms of their physical health, but also that would improve their financial health, that would improve their mental health. Mm-hmm. So in one of the projects that they're working on is identifying opportunities to increase access to healthy food options in the wake of the closing of a supermarket in the neighborhood, which has limited their access to fruits and vegetables. Mm. So they have a food box program that is run by Grow NYCE, and they have a point of delivery right there at their offices, and families can sign up for weekly deliveries of fresh seasonal fruits and vegetables. Mm. That is an additional point of access, and it's convenient, and it's lower than the price point that they would have in other food outlets. Mm. They're also working to create connectivity of green and public spaces. So in East Harlem, one of the things that happens is that there is a sense that the viaduct is really difficult and is to cross and divide to the neighborhood on the east and the west side. Mm. So creating opportunities for connecting people from one side of the viaduct to another and to the green spaces is something that they've taken on by working on the development of a walking path, identifying opportunities for using placemaking and using art to activate the viaduct, mm-hmm. and identifying ways in which the neighborhood can get reintroduced to green spaces that sometimes can be challenging to access. So, for example, from East Harlem, you can have use the Randall's Island connector to get from East Harlem to a fantastic facility where you can have access to fields, to green spaces for biking, etc. But because it's really hard to find where the connector is, wayfinding is an opportunity to reconnect people back to Randall's Island. And similarly, on the other side, you have Central Park, which can be considered East Harlem's backyard. Mm-hmm. But these are underutilized resources for many reasons, and one of the activities that they're undertaking is reconnecting neighbors to these spaces. So there are organizations that are coordinating walking groups. There are organizations that are helping to create wayfinding signage. And all of those things add up to more vibrant, safer public spaces that then are more inviting for residents to utilize. In Two Bridges, there was also the closing of a supermarket shortly before we made the initial grant to that neighborhood organization, to the Two Bridges Neighborhood Council. So one of the projects that that they are working on is reconnecting folks to the nearby markets in Chinatown. Chinatown, it has a myriad of food outlets that don't necessarily look like your traditional supermarkets. And for folks who are not familiar with those markets, they may be a little bit intimidating. So one of the things that the Two Bridges that they have tours to introduce the residents to different food outlets from the ones that they are accustomed to, given the closing of the supermarket. So these tours basically take you around the different food outlets in the Chinatown area, which abuts the Two Bridges footprint, and literally going in, getting to know the shop owners, talking about the new items that residents of Two Bridges may or may not be familiar with. Some of them are familiar with items that may be very very exotic to other folks, right? Mm-hmm. So having the opportunity to go to those markets, to get to know the shopkeepers, to experience a different type of food venue, it's a little bit like hand-holding folks so that they can meet their food needs in the absence of the traditional supermarket that they had been used to. So, the other way in which they are activating public spaces is that they're working with the Department of Transportation to ensure safe passages to access to the river. The neighborhood is divided from the river by a very active highway. Mm-hmm. So creating ways to do traffic calming, creating opportunities for people to cross that are secure, whether it is that there's traffic light patterns that are more that are kinder to people that work slower or people that are seniors. Those kinds of things help connect people back to the river.
Right. So we're almost out of time, but I'm sitting here thinking this. It's this fabulous work. It's really important work, I think, as we do try to look at how do we build healthier communities. And I commend the foundation for its investment in this work. I'm thinking about people who may live in these communities and may feel like, gee, I'd like to be a part of this. What do you say to people who maybe aren't part of the working with these organizations per se, but want to contribute to building healthier communities where they live?
So there's a fantastic a project that we are really proud to be supporting, that is that we're hoping is going to activate those same folks that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to activate neighborhood leaders, not necessarily organizations. Mm-hmm. So if you go to iobi.org, and that's iobi.org, we have set a what we call the Healthy Neighborhoods Challenge, in which we're inviting residents of these healthy neighborhoods to propose project ideas that can be crowdfunded through IOBI, and the foundation will match for each one, each dollar that is raised, we will match it one-on-one. So that, for example, if I have an empty lot next to my building and I want to organize neighbors to create a neighborhood garden, mm-hmm. you can get your starting funds through IOBI.
Or and that's iobi.org.
iobi.org.
Now, if I want more information about what's going on, let's say, in East Harlem with the Healthy Neighborhoods Initiative, how do I find out more about what's going on? Do I go to the foundation's website?
So you can go to our website, and we can connect you with our grantees, or you can directly get in contact with the District Public Health Office.
And what's your website?
nyshealth.org.
nyshealth.org. And so this Building Healthy Communities started when? This investment started when?
We are smack in the middle of our second year.
Uh-huh.
We will be going up for renewal for our sites in March of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking forward to having a long-term relationship with our grantees that are outlive our investment in this particular funding opportunity.
Well, Lourdes Rodriguez, I want to thank you very much for coming on to Health Cetera today to talk about the New York State Health Foundation's Building Healthy Communities work, and I'm looking forward to you coming back on and giving us an update of the progress that these communities are making. This is really exciting work, Lourdes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I hope to get lots of email traffic from folks interested in follow-up questions.
And how can people reach you?
Sure, they can reach me at rodriguez@nyshealth.org.
Spell that?
RODRIGUEZ at nyshealth.org.
RODRIGUIZ at?
GUEZ.
GUEZ. So RODRIGUEZ at nyshealth.org. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Lourdes.
Thank you, Diana.
You've been listening to Health Cetera. I'm Diana Mason, one of the producers of this program that's brought to you by the Center for Health, Media, and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. You can follow us online at www.centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. That's healthmediapolicy.com. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.